It is now high noon on Wednesday, April 5th, 2024, and I call to order this meeting of the Orange County Water District Water Issues Committee. With that, Madam Clerk, would you please conduct the roll call?
Roll call, Director Whitaker.
Here.
Director Nguyen. Director Yeo.
Here.
Director Tran.
Here.
Director Wiegand.
Here.
Director Bilodeau.
Here.
Director Sheldon. Director Meeks. Director Mezqua.
Present.
Director Green.
Here.
You do have a quorum of your committee.
Great. Thank you. If we would all now rise to
the Pledge of Allegiance in this great republic, I'd like to ask our general manager, John Kennedy, to please lead us.
Thank you.
Please follow me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America
and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And Mr. General Manager, do we have any items received too late to have been agendized?
We do not.
Time is reserved for visitor participation. I'm looking for are there any hands raised virtually?
There are none.
Well, we'll move on to our consent calendar. Items number 1 through 6 are in the consent calendar, and I'm just a little bit of a stickler, no criticism, but item number 4 has a little typo in the first word there. But with that, does anyone wish to pull an item for discussion or have any comments? No one virtually as well? With that, I would entertain a motion.
Hold on, yeah.
Oh, sure.
No, I'm not voting. Never mind. Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay.
You have a question or comment at all?
No, I just want to thank staff on item 6 for all the hard work for Santa Ana Well 31. That's all. Thank you.
We'll always allow thanks to staff. So with that,
I'd entertain a motion.
I will move to approve the consent items.
Thank you.
And I'll second it.
Okay, Director Tran and Director Yeo. And if there's no further discussion on these consent items, Madam Clerk.
Roll call, Director Whitaker.
Aye.
Director Yeo.
Yes.
Director Tran.
Yes.
Director Wiegand.
Yes.
Director Bilodeau.
Yes.
That motion carries 5-0.
Thank you for that. We have
two informational items today. Number 7 is the proposed fiscal year 2024-25 capital improvement program budget.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, this is a continuation of the budget meetings we've been having this spring. And Chris Olson is going to present our recommended CIP budget for next year.
Thanks, John. Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Finish hiding this here. Here we go. All right, the fiscal year 24-25 CIP. Starting off with the budget schedule you're very familiar with, the budget process started back in December 23. We're here at Water Issues to talk about the CIP. Just an hour or so ago, we were talking with the producers about the draft budget. There weren't any comments or questions, so it's always looking good. Tomorrow, we'll be going over the general fund budget at Admin Finance, and then at next week's board meeting, we'll have the public hearing to set the RA and BPP and consider to approve the budget. So of the fiscal year 24-25 total budget of $247.6 million, the CIP represents $59.4 million of that. So for that $59.4 million, we have 27 projects listed. And those projects are funded with PAYGO, WIFIA, and grants. And as a reminder, every project on the CIP list goes through various stages with board action. We start with the pre-design, which typically can be a feasibility study, an engineer's report, environmental documentations, the CEQA. It'll come back to the board for approval and then request to issue design services for plans and specifications, get that approved. And then when that's complete, we'll come back to the board to authorize and request to issue a notice inviting bid for the construction contract of that work. And that's typical for all of our CIP projects. So of the 27, 20 of them are PFAS. So it's very heavy PFAS like it was last year. 58 of the 59 million is PFAS projects, with the balance of them being monitoring wells, other small projects. So just want to point out the reason why there's 20 is because we are packaging these projects into different groups of wells, and it's more for grant funding opportunities. Some of them may be easier if there's a group of four or five wells. You can get grant options, opportunities for multiple projects, and also for phasing. Some of them are going to be ready sooner than later, and the summary table for the CIP represents and shows that. Okay, so I will focus on three of them that are the higher dollar costs for fiscal year 24-25, and I will start with Anaheim, where the construction is the activity for the next fiscal year. And these two phases, A and B, are nearly complete. So there's just going to be a little bit left to complete our reimbursement with Anaheim, approximately $10 million next fiscal year. And they will have all of their wells from phase A and phase B operational, and we will have paid them for their reimbursements of their contracts. And as a reminder, the phase A, all eight of those wells are already operational, running with treatment. And the ones that are still in construction are the phase B. So one of those wells in phase B, the Catella well, is operational. The other four sites, five wells, are in construction. And I have a little bit more of an update than you saw last week for those sites. I'll start with the Santa Cruz. This is a two-well system. That's why there's a lot of vessels there. It's for two wells on one site. They're working on the individual well buildings. They're working on electrical work, pipeline work, other pipeline transmission work that's all going on with this site. Here's a picture of one of the well buildings. So this site's probably going to be a summertime operation, late summer. Over at their downtown site, they are working on getting their pump installed and tested. And once that happens, they're going to be ready for resin fill and loading and getting this site operational as well. This will be the next one that'll be operational for phase B. The others are the Brookhurst site. Again, it's electrical work, it's pipeline installation, other site work as disinfection's going in place also. That's Brookhurst. Willow Park, similar. They're all kind of in the similar time frame, above ground electrical going on over there and building modifications in preparation for new equipment and the variable frequency drive installation. So these wells are all a summertime startup, and then phase B will be closing out. And that's why we show the $10 million remaining, just to get these things operational and closed out for Anaheim phase B. Showing Tustin, where the construction is the activity for the next fiscal year, we're going to have a balance of approximately $4 million. This is the centralized treatment plant, four wells to be treated at their main plant site. I showed this last week. I didn't have any new updates. It's the fourth set of vessels being installed. They're working on anchoring those vessels to the slab, connecting the pipelines. And then the big effort's going to be the distribution pipeline that runs along Main Street and connecting these wells to the treatment plant. So here's a new one. It's the Santa Ana wells 18, 24, 32, 36, and 39. This one will be in design slash construction and have a $9 million cost associated with next fiscal year. The reason why that is, it's not currently on our list. It's a potential MCL impacted group of wells. The city decided to proactively get started on design efforts in anticipation that the MCL will be set, and we'll have to deal with that. And because of that, they're going to be near 100% for design sometime in the summer, where we'll be starting construction. So it actually works out pretty good. You know, we have it our existing. We have a lot of wells in construction. We have a lot operational. We're going to be starting the new phase of design. So this kind of fits in there in between of getting it started for construction. So this would be a centralized treatment plant at the Garthie Reservoir site, shown in blue here. So all five wells would be distributed, conveyed to that site for a centralized treatment plant. And that concludes the presentation. The recommendation is to just receive board comments.
Give that a second to sink in and ask anyone if they have any questions.
I have a question, Mr. Chair.
Sure.
Yeah, this is Van Tran. Of all the capital improvement projects and the dollar amount that you cited, are the dollar amounts fully contributed or will be paid for by OCWD, or are there any contributions from the producers or from the cities?
For all those, they are OCWD funded. There will be some grant funding that comes with that, but predominantly OCWD funded.
Okay. And I recall that based on the projections, maybe since last year, that the capital improvement projects, at least for the PFAS remediation costs, I think it was around $100 million, if you recall. That number is easy to remember. It's a round number. Has that number gone up, the dollar amount, in terms of what was projected last year as opposed to this year?
No, it is still the same projection. You know, we have these two different phases, right? We have it's in our current program for 62 wells. That total dollar amount is $300 million. For the next MCL impacted round, it's around $250 million. So those have not changed. They've stayed the same.
Okay, very well. Thank you.
Thank you. I see Director Yeo.
Yeah, thank you, Chair Whitaker. And Chris, thank you for the presentation. Just want to understand this a little better. You mentioned that we logically split, if you will, or group the wells into smaller projects so that we can have more projects to pursue funding, grant funding opportunities, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, so... one might think that grouping into a very large project can realize some economies of scale, but I think this is a good thing. What we're doing here is to try to get more money from other people to do our project. So thank you very much. This is good.
Yeah, you are absolutely correct. It would be definitely easier to have one large project. However, what it does is allows us to seek multiple applications. And if you can put in just enough wells to get one application in, then it's less work all the submittals dealing with the amount of wells. And then you can have multiple applications. So that's why there's a huge cost benefit. It just takes time and effort to do it.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate all you do.
Thank you. Director Amezcua.
Yes, this is Director Bilodeau. I don't know if CFO Fick is present, but I had a question about... there was a line item for the retiree medical. I think our contribution is $600,000 this year. Do you know if that'll be tailing off in the future, or kind of what's our funding status now in retiree medical liabilities?
He's providing an answer, right?
Yeah, it's projected to stay about the same, Director Bilodeau.
Okay. But we're like 50% funded or so, and the rest is kind of pay-go under the GASB rules.
It's much higher than 50%. We can get the number for Admin Finance Committee tomorrow.
Okay, that's all. Thank you.
Yes, Director Bilodeau, according to the scoreboard here, you preempted Mayor Mezcla, but you have a question, Director?
I do not have one. I just want to make a note that I heard that Santa Ana was being proactive, and I love to hear that. I want to thank the staff from Santa Ana and the water area in our here in our city to thank them for being proactive. I always appreciate that. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
Our water department does amazing things here in Santa Ana.
So with that, if there's nothing further, we will go to our second informational item, Field Headquarters Recharge Operations Update.
Yeah, Ben Smith will give the committee an update.
Welcome, Ben.
Thank you.
Good morning. I think December was my last update to the committee. So thanks for having me back. So I'd like to acknowledge who's doing the work. This is a recent photo. There's about 20 staff members up there. So they're doing jobs like hydrography, moving the water around, heavy equipment, running bulldozers, landscaping and maintenance. So we have a great staff there. I love working with them. Their dedication is like, it keeps me going. It's just a great group of people I like to work with there. So a little refresher on our surface recharge system. So the district owns about 1,600 acres of land in the Anaheim and Orange area. 1,100 acres of that gets wet. That's where the water touches and can percolate. So if you add up all the facilities, there's 30 recharged facilities. Out of that 30, four of them are actually flood control facilities that the county lets us operate when it's not storm conditions. They let us use those facilities. If you add up the storage for everything, it's 25,000 acre feet. We have 11 pump stations in this area. Only one of them, well, just a couple of them are used to convey the water from basin to basin. Most of them are used for dewatering, for getting water out of a lake to clean it. We have four rubber dams, two in the river and one at La Jolla and one at Warner Basin. So a little recap of this winter. In terms of rainfall, December and January was below average. We were worried we were going to have a dry year. In February and March came, we were well above average. So arriving at today, year to date, we have 20.2 inches recorded at our rain gauge in Anaheim. So 13.9 would be the average for the whole year. So we're well above average this year. Surface recharge, a couple interesting facts. Year to date, this is through the end of March, we've recharged more than 200,000 acre feet of water in the system. Our annual average is 220. So we reach 90% of the average in the first three quarters of the year. And so we've been having a wet year. That's a big piece of that. Also the wet year, the water from last year, a lot of that didn't get into the ground until this year. So that's a bit of a carryover for a larger number this year. In a minute, I'll be talking about our storage. We have a lot of water in storage, but just want to point out we are percolating about 1,000 acre feet a day. So that's river water and Gibberish water going in the ground every day. We are noticing high groundwater levels. People along the coast are definitely noticing it. Some of those water coming out of the ground in places. In the forebay, we're noticing some of the recharge rates, the percolation rates are lower than typical. We're attributing that to the groundwater table is generally higher. So that's leading us to, it's an indicator that this summer, and especially in our deeper basins, when we dry them out for cleaning, we're not likely to actually get them dry, that we're probably going to have shallow groundwater coming in to them for a while. So that'll definitely be a challenge for us to get everything cleaned. So I know I'm infamous for my graphs, but if you remember in December, I showed you a red and green Christmas graph. So this is my Easter graph.
Got it.
I limit it to two lines. One, the dash line on the top is our storage capacity, right? What we can hold in all of our basins. The blue is what we're actually holding. So this is 3 years of data. There's four colors on there. Those are lined up with the fiscal year. And then the rain amounts for each fiscal year are on the top. So today we're out on the right side. You see we're full. We've been full for over a month. Everything we're percolating, that's what we're bringing in, right? We're keeping those storages full. Something I was interesting to me on this trend is normally going through summer into the fall, like you look at those previous 2 years, we would be having our storages pretty low. But you look at this last year in 2023, we were on trend to do that, and then Tropical Storm Hillary landed, blessed us with a lot of water. That's a good thing. So again, that's helping us have a good percolation number this year, but it is a change in our strategy. Normally, if you see that downward slope, if that would have continued, right, we would have landed in the range we would normally land, preparing for the winter storms, having that much storage available. So here's that same information in numbers. Right now, this is a snapshot from yesterday. Prado Dam, we have over 19,000 acre feet being stored there. So that's 98% of what the district's allowed to store there. That's not 98% of the dam capacity. It's much, much less. And we do have a rain scheduled or forecast for this weekend. So we're likely to top that storage off again this weekend. As you can tell by all the numbers, these are our larger facilities. Everything's near 100%. Very full of river water, SAR, Santa Ana River water. At the bottom here are our two GWS basins, the two basins that are currently taking GWS. They were recently cleaned, so they're on their process of being refilled. there are two other basins that can take GWS water. We have prioritized river water into those over the GWS plant right now. So adding up everything on the bottom, we're 99.6% full. We got 0.4% available. And that's really an operational need. Because we have pump stations running and a gravity system feeding those pump stations, if the power goes out or something, it might take 6 hours for us to shut the water off that's coming in there. So we need to keep some storage available in the basin in case an incident like that occurs. So I have a series of pictures. This is from last Friday. Nice drone shots we got of our system. So here's the Santa Ana River down the center, the Imperial Headgates. This is our first spot we divert water out of the river. So that's our rubber dam and trash rake. On the right here is what we call the weir ponds or desilting ponds. So the idea there is they work like a clarifier at a treatment plant. They're trying to settle the solids of the river before it gets into the basins that are doing all the recharging. Moving a little bit downstream, we have the Foster Huckleberry Conrock Warner field headquarters in the distance there. And you can start to see our off river that runs parallel with the river. If you squint, you can make out a little bulldozer there. It was working on Friday. So we're always running bulldozers in the river to keep it level, keep that silt suspended so that it doesn't clog the percolation in the river. Further downstream here is Burris. Burris is full. You can see our bird island there in the middle and the pump station in the back. And again, you can see the river and river view off to the other side there. Here's Santiago Basin. So I just wanted to point out right now, it's one basin. They're all connected. But technically, we count them as three separate ones, Bond, Blue Diamond, and Smith. My favorite basin, Smith Basin. but they are full. And the creek is off here to the right in this view. And so water doesn't go down the creek from this point unless the basins are full. So we are at that condition. We've been at that condition for a couple months. You know, our partners at Irvine Lake and Villa Park Dam, they've been managing their system, so we were full here earlier. Back in Anaheim, we have our GWS basins, La Palma, Mira Loma, and you can see Kramer, Miller, and Anaheim in the back. Everything is full, brim full. We got an inquiry about a little more detail about how the rubber dam at Imperial works. So this is a view from the 91 freeway looking at the rubber dam. So the river's flowing from the right to the left here. That white part in the middle, that's the rubber dam. And if you look up to the right, there's two sets of gates here for grading. And so the one on the right, that's where we divert into our recharge system. The one on the left we call the bypass. It puts water around the dam back into the river. And so this is how we can control the river, that we only put as much in there as will percolate. Without the dam, it would be very difficult to control the river. And so we probably end up, you know, with a little bit of water getting past us. So the one of the main drivers for the rubber dam is also it builds a depth. So this is an 8-foot tall dam. And since our system is mostly gravity fed, we need depth of water to cause the water to move. So when the dam's up, normal operation, 8 feet tall, we can divert 350, even up to 500 CFS out of the river. Right now, the way things are in our system, if the river starts to see about 1400 CFS, we have to deflate the dam. So we lose that depth. And 1400 CFS in the river is maybe 2 feet deep. So we can only divert about 20 to 50 CFS at that depth. Earlier this year, the Army Corps released 7,500 CFS. That was a lot of water in the river. The depth got to 4.5 feet. So without the dam, just the depth of the water flowing in the river, we were able to divert over 200 CFS at that time. So it's an interesting gameplay with in the midst of a storm, and it's peaky. And so when to put the dam up or down, it's a, my guys do it in the middle of the night. They really work hard, and they capture a lot of water for the district. So that's my update. If there's any questions, I'd be welcome to answer.
Great presentation. Really, any questions?
Director Yeo has his hand raised.
Sure. Go ahead, Director Yeo.
Thank you, Chair Whitaker. And Ben, thank you for the presentation. I got a question about the where we divert the river water. Do we have some type of gross solid removal devices inside of that to help improve the water quality?
Yes. Yes, we do. Both places we take water out of the river, we call them a trash rack or trash rake. They're different styles, but they're screens. You know, maybe 3-4 inches apart. And there's one is like the claw game at Denny's where you pick up the stuffed animal and try to bring it back. So there's a claw that will pick up the trash and make a pile. The other one is a rotating tines. It's on chains. But yeah, so they remove the large debris.
Okay, thank you. So I was thinking that because there's a lot of urban runoff, right? We're helping improve the water quality for the surrounding jurisdictions. you think that will we be able to get some funding, grant funding opportunities from agencies like OCTA or Caltrans to try to further improve the water quality by implementing more capital improvement projects in this area? Do you think that we're adequately removing the trash from the river?
You know, Director Yeo, we can look into that. I think it's working pretty well with our trash racks that we keep the major trash out of our recharge basins. But I don't think we've thought about looking for funding from other agencies, and this is something we can explore.
Yeah, we can talk some more offline.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
I saw a hand for Director Dina Nguyen.
Director Wygand.
Oh,
yeah. Has his hand raised?
Yes, go ahead, Director Wygand from PG.
Yeah, Director Yeo's last comment, that was something that City of Newport Beach partnered with, and we had that work installing and building right now a trash water wheel that does a lot of that trash removal. It's a lot probably smaller and slower moving creek, San Diego Creek, I believe is what it is. But we did get some funding from OCTA and a couple other entities. So it could be something done or looked at, but I'm not sure the volume coming down our rivers, it would be as successful as the one that we're implementing.
Great, thank you. I had just a couple comments on one of your earlier where you gave us an update on the number of basins, of percolation basins. I'm always, when I'm asked how many we have, I say more than 24.
Yeah.
And you put a finer point on it there. It would now be 26, and then we share 4 with County Flood Control.
Correct.
Okay, good. I'll amend that for German.
Yeah.
Second thing is, maybe I was asleep at the wheel, but I didn't recall a collective number, a daily number on how much is being percolated. Is that a new thing?
Yeah, I don't think we've shared it before.
I think that's an excellent number. That's very helpful. And really, the third thing is the way that you organize the presentation. It's like a, you know, a drone bird's eye view, and it creates the connectivity of so much that we deal with all the time, usually at random.
Sure.
Yeah. So I think very good presentation. Thanks.
Thank you.
Anything else? Any other?
Director Sheldon has his hand raised.
Sure, Director Sheldon.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the percolation, I know it's, you know, it's great, but and we've had a lot of water we've been able to put into the aquifer. Is the aquifer starting to top off a little bit where it's, and it's a good problem, I suppose, that we're not able to get it as quickly in as, say, we might have in the summer if we had the basin full. Maybe if we had the not the basin, but the lake full.
Yeah, so from my seat, not the hydrogeologist seat, I do see some of our deep basins, the percolation rate is, for this situation, it's lower than in previous years it's been. Not drastically, but maybe 5 or 10% lower. Okay.
Sure, well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, okay, that, which is a good problem to have, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
And as to the other director's question on the water quality, what level do you think it's being cleaned? Like the water, say Bond, Santiago, that looked to me to be kind of a pretty potential wave runner type facility out there. So jet ski wave runners on that, it looked pretty possible. I don't know if any of my directors would agree with me, though.
Yeah, so just touching a little more on, so the current cleaning we have, if you will, the screening. So we're picking up branches, seat cushions, shopping carts, logs, things like that. And then by the time we send water to Santiago, it's gone through 6 miles of desilting. So it has been cleaned up quite a bit before we send it over there. So there is a, like it's been mentioned, there is a regional benefit. We do it to increase percolation, but there is a regional benefit to having clean water around.
What percent of San Diego, what we saw pretty full, is from the water that we send over there versus water that naturally comes in from San Diego or from the just the watershed in it, in Villa Park Dam and what have you?
I haven't done the math, but I'm going to estimate on a wet year, probably 20 to 25% of the water that gets in there is from the local watershed. This last 2 years has been a little different because Irvine Lake has had to release, and historically they hardly ever release. So they fed it more the last 2 years than typical.
Yeah. So we're taking water from Irvine Lake. That's great. I'd like to hear that.
Yeah, we were current. They got relief on how much they can hold starting April 1st. So now they're holding more. But yeah.
Did they try to send us a bill? Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. One last thing for my edification, the rubber dams. Please thank your staff for all the extra work they've done through this rainy season and the extra hours as well. Look like quite a group there, at least 20. But I'm wondering, I've never known how long it takes to take the dam from fully deflated up to full operation.
It's about 15 to 20 minutes.
Really? That fast?
Yeah.
Wow. I have no idea. So
it's a big bladder, but it only needs like 3 to 5 PSI. It's not a huge pressure, just enough pressure to hold the force from the water.
So you can be real reactive.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's it. Seeing nothing further, I would direct that the first 6 items of consent calendar items be placed on our consent agenda at the April 17th board meeting. And
with that, we have time for directors' announcements or reports. Yes, that was me. Anything virtual, any announcements or reports? Going, going, gone. Okay, we'll go to general manager's announcement.
A couple items, Mr. Chair. The first, the EPA did come out today as, you know, and we were waiting for this, but they did come out with the 4 part per trillion MCL for some PFAS compounds. And we were expecting that. Next Wednesday night, we'll ask Jason Dadakis to give a full report on exactly what they came out with and the details. There was one bit of good news in what the EPA came out with. Previously, they were going to require within 3 years that you had to have treatment facilities constructed. But what they came out with today, they're allowing up to 5 years to get the treatment systems constructed. So that will give us a little more breather and help us in getting all these systems constructed and also the financing of them. So
allowing without being petitioned to allow.
And you won't be out of compliance. And but we'll have a lot more on that next Wednesday night. The second thing I wanted to mention is the Metropolitan Water District approved their new rates for the next 2 years. The cost of treated Metropolitan water will increase on January 1st. It will increase from $1,256 to $1,395. That's an 11% increase. That'll be effective January. And then 12 months after that, January of 2026, the cost of treated Met water will go up to $1,528, another 10% increase. The Metropolitan Board voted on that yesterday. So we've been waiting. There's been about a two-month process for Metropolitan to adopt their new rates. So, and that is all I had.
Okay, thank you. With that, we are adjourned.